faction, whichever one you prefer, and I entitled this episode Magnum Opus, Tapping into Tesla and Dimensional Existences. Why? Because with everything going on in the world these days, people need to understand their power. And you can't really do that keeping up with the news, keeping up with the Joneses. They try to keep you distracted, going this way, going left when you want to go right, going right when you want to go left. I decided to take a break from covering the news to talk to you, to talk to the listeners, and to really kind of get across some concepts that I think we should really cover. Clearly we pay attention to the paranormal and everything else that goes on with that, and this is kind of going to be one of those episodes, so I'm telling you right now, kick up those feet. Maybe go get yourself a tea or a coffee or something to relax yourself, because we're going to be going over some pretty in-depth episodes. Now, or it's pretty in-depth content. It's taken me almost 2 to 3 different tries to try to get this right. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and upload the most complete try to our exclusive members episode, so you can basically get a 2-for-1 deal with this episode. There's a lot of information that I'm trying to cover that I wasn't able to. So definitely, if anything, we might do this again. But my point is this: it's going to be a very heavy episode. I hope you're ready. I'm trying to switch things up from our typical go around. And there will be notes to this episode, so go to our website and you can download the notes there, and then you can go over them yourself if you guys want to. I tried to put them in a legible fashion so you could read them as well. And with that being said, let's kickstart the show. Salutations, my friends. Salutations. And thank you for tuning in to this edition. Wow. We have a very, very powerful episode lined up for you guys. A very, very informational and somewhat ambiguous and abstract episode to really look at. Now, trying to put this together was a little bit of a hassle, simply because it's not like every other episode. You know, there's not a whole lot of news coming out today about alchemy, about Nikola Tesla, about these types of things. However, at the same time, we're seeing a modern day relevance. We're seeing why these types of understandings and these teachings, this reality, this understanding, this perspective towards the core reality, how it's kind of purposely been misguided, or almost purposely hidden. And to troll Billy Carson, this is the real forbidden knowledge. It goes past just discussing what an alien is, what is reality, what has been hidden from us, ancient archaeology, and so much more. You see, these are the types of things that we have to remember, more or less. It's not so much trying to rediscover or discover different types of teachings. It's understanding, basically, the real understanding and remembering the real nature of the world we find ourselves living in. Now, I'm not going to be going over one particular thing. As I said before, trying to put this together was a little bit difficult. So make sure you yourself strap yourself in, kick back, and just, you know, really listen to what we're talking about, what I'm trying to get across to you guys. This isn't going to be an episode where there's all kinds of graphics and visuals and videos going off and things like that. We do have that. However, that's not the whole point. The point is for me to kind of reach across this screen, this digital fire, and talk to you about some things. You see, personally, I feel like I have a lot of life, a lot of life and a lot of light inside of me, a lot of energy, a lot of spirit, and I try to give it to people. I've always, in my entire life, I've been trying to figure out, you know, how can I help people? I genuinely get, like, upset and frustrated when people won't let me help them. So I've always had to work in this mindset, work in this reality, knowing that, you know, sometimes people won't let you help them. How do you turn a positive into a negative? I swear, that really is a skill. People need to understand it. Some of what we will be talking about in this edition is kind of just that. It's an esoteric occult kind of episode, no doubt. that we're going to be talking about things like elk alchemy, you know, Tesla, the human brain, the electric universe, density, and even planar existences, the space-time distortion that was recently discovered in Las Vegas. What does that have to do with us? What is happening? Why is it so hard for us to communicate on things that are important? It's because of where we are all operating from. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I like to ask these types of questions. I like to go deep down the rabbit hole. I'd be lying if I told you, you know, I didn't really have an interest in all of these mystery school teachings. Now, one of the things that we'll hear, or that you'll hear all the time, is that this is New Age, or this is demonic, or it's not meant to be practiced, or it's not meant to be studied, it's not meant to be looked at. This whole mindset, this whole authoritative stance of saying you cannot do something, it comes from the church. Now remember that the church was also the institution that basically kept people illiterate. They did not want the peasants to be educated, because if they did, the peasants would know that the church indeed is misinterpreting the doctrine, and then at the same time being the false prophets that they're claiming to watch out for. So it's very, very crazy. The point is this. This information, just as the whole podcast itself, is meant and was meant to enrich you. But that's why it was taken. That's why it was hidden. You see, let's start off here by talking about what is alchemy. You see, long time ago, around the 15th or 16th century, people who practiced alchemy, and for people who are wondering what alchemy is, it's basically the forerunner to chemistry. And the best way that I could describe it is, you know, based on transformation of matter, alchemy is concerned particularly with the attempts to convert things like, you know, lead into gold, or finding a universal elixir, or trying to attain immortality. It seems like a magical process of transformation, creation, combination, and reincarnation. But again, why was this taken? If this was the forerunner to chemistry, why are we practicing only chemistry? There's a lot of different aspects to this. Now, the scientific aspect is where you break something down to its base components, and then you basically reconstitute it, you build it back up into a whole nother item, so to speak, or object. I've paid attention to this concept not only technologically, but obviously, you know, with things with the mysticism and the occult. If you've paid attention to our Occult World series, you've heard me talk about things such as Thuggeria. Now, Thuggeria, I'm trying to really set a tone so I don't jump the gun, you know, and basically skip over stuff. Thuggeria is basically where you're imbuing your essence, a essence or an entity, an energy, into a item. You see, this is now something that we're discussing with alchemy. I tried to look up what was considered the 12 steps, the 12 processes, the stages of alchemy, of breaking something down and then reconstituting it with the celestial fire, as they call it, and then building something new. But there's a lot of different interpretations of what could be considered the operations out there. But for time's sake, you know, I'll just kind of give you a quick summary. And as I keep saying, it's breaking down something to its base materials and then reconstituting it with the celestial fire and then giving it a new purpose. Why is this important? Because not only are you accessing the physical world by, you know, literally dismantling something in the physical world, breaking it down to its base components, you're also trying to call upon the spiritual world to give it a new purpose. Now, what do I mean by this? This is why rings, amulets, charms, trinkets, certain items are very important. They have these types of things imbued into them, not only through these types of ritualistic means, or through these magical means, or through these arcane science means, but also through natural means. There's a resonance, there's a frequency, there's an energetic purpose to everything that we are surrounded by. And I know that kind of sounds wild, but keep listening to the episode, and I'm sure I'll explain this. Because once we get to the parts where we're talking about the space-time continuum and everything that is and isn't existing, you'll understand that what we're doing is basically being the vessel for the larger energy to work through. We are merely here to work things upon this earth, to work things into this time frame. Now, people, back to alchemy, people think, you know, this has only roots in Europe, you know, with things such as the Philosopher's Stone. But if you take your time and you look up, you know, different types of where it was studied, basically, you'll see that it was discovered in, or that it was taught in. It was also studied in Asia, Africa, Arabia, and Brazil. Okay, the search for the Philosopher's Stone, changing things from lead to gold. This was just again, physical, materialistic, corporeal understanding of a very, very, a very, very high-minded spiritual teaching. You have to think. You're changing the base components to something else. And as we already know, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be recreated and redistributed. You see, what alchemy really is an understanding of the world that's been lost, how to remember and get back the world that was before. That's the secret. Remembering our history. You see, people think that, you know, they're going to find it chasing dollars, chasing things that are temporary. We ourselves are temporary. If you chase drama, you'll never be free. If you seek knowledge, you can never be held captive. You'll understand how powerful you are, and you'll refuse to be a slave to a system which seeks to keep you entrapped. The 12 operations of alchemy are calcination, dissolution, separation, conjunction, fermentation, distillation, coagulation, sublimation, fermentation, exaltation, multiplication, and projection. Now, this is the part of the physical components of understanding alchemy. The spiritual process is the representation and the internalization of these processes, of these operations. You see, how to gather energy, harnessing it from the aether, from the invisible universe that surrounds us, using the energy that is metaphysical in, between, and around us, enhancing our lives. Not the Native American Indians, but the Indians. They have a saying, they have a term, the prana, the pranayana, as some might say, the life-giving force, the breath of life. Right, we breathe it every day. I'm not talking about oxygen. I'm really not, and this is the crazy part, because you kind of get this distinction between the two. I'm not talking about oxygen. I'm not talking about this thing that we're breathing every day. That's the scientific component behind it. What I'm talking about is something deeper than that. It's what gives your dog life. It's what gives you purpose. It's what feeds everything. And it's not just life, you see. It's not just like that. It's not just one thing. Some people have said that it was DMT. But it's more than that. We're all breathing it. We're all part of it. It's this essence that we find ourselves living in. You see, tapping into the chi. Whatever this energy is that we have coursing through us, the alchemists knew that if we figured out how to harness this, if we could really figure out how to understand what this energy was, this thing that gave so much force to everything else, that would be the real free energy. Now, is this the free energy that we're talking about today, as discovered by Nikola Tesla? Don't worry, we'll get into that later. We're talking about the hidden universe, the electric universe, alchemy, to some. At first glance, it might seem a little complex because you're talking about
literally breaking something down. Well, I can tell you this much. People are much more familiar with breaking things down than they are with creating, and that's because of how things are these days. If we could take the time to really see how much we do create and how much we do destroy, we would literally be trying to live in better balance. Think about the device, how you're listening to this right now. How is this created? What components took place physically to get here? Now, what mentally took place for the components to get there, for them to manifest physically and to get there? Everything that we are seeing right now eventually was a thought at one point in time. And I know that's just a silly way to think about it, but really think about breaking things down. Molding matter. You see, alchemy may seem complex, but it's just misunderstood. It's actually simple. It's the routine, the practice of breaking things down, of really getting to the baser points of it, and then using that energy to really bring it back. This is what I mean by turning a negative into a positive. Is it something that you're really upset about? Is there a way to find harmony, to dissolve it, and then reconstitute it? You see, the roots, the understanding, is dealing with the underlying fabric of reality. That's where the secrets are. We're a race with amnesia. Some people like Graham Hancock say that this is, you know, part of the Great Catastrophe. This is, you know, it's been documented that there's been a great flood. You know, again, you know, look at the manipulation of history. Again, some of the alchemists have had to go into hiding to practice these types of things. Because this is, again, part of that mystery school. This goes past Egypt, even. You see, we're talking about the occult world, the unseen universe, how we're trying to gain our memory back. There's a core of information through which we all pull information from. But we are unable to access it because we have forgotten the keys. We have forgotten how it works. But what about, and this is, I'll say this, and then we'll take a quick break. Could it be possible that there might be people who haven't forgotten how this works, who do remember? You see, what if alchemy, in a modern sense, goes back much farther? You know, it just got popularized, so to speak, and labeled in the 15th and 16th century. What if we have immortals from that time frame who are already here? You see, this is the edge of their eternity. Our present day is the edge of their immortality. You would have to think at the end of eternity, one might expect the company of immortals. Are we living with people who are immortal now, who have practiced breaking themselves down and reconstituting it elsewhere? Is this where we get the idea of consciousness transference? Is this the idea of literally trying to mimic reincarnation? You see, when we ask all these different questions about our existence, the nature of our existence, and why we're really here, you should really understand how powerful you can be and how powerful we have been. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about Nikola Tesla. That's right. Apparently, it was his birthday this week. So we're going to do him justice and try to get some of his information out to you, the good people. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Salutations and welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for being a part of our history as we try to do something a little bit different, a little bit the same, but at the same time a little bit different. We're trying to really, the more we step into this position and into this role, really seeing how many different people we do affect every single day, I am trying my hardest to make sure that you people get the best content. We are stepping up our game. Every single episode, every single day, and it's because you people deserve it. Were it not for you, we wouldn't be here. So thank you and salutations for sticking around. So as I said, we were going to talk about Nikola Tesla, the ultimate mad scientist. Why? Not only because it was his birthday, but he also talked about seeing into the ether, asking these deeper questions of what's going on? The geological importance of even taking care of Earth. You see, he even said, and this is a quote from him, from the man, Nikola Tesla himself. This is his quote. He says, quote, "My brain is only a receiver. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. I have not penetrated into the secrets of this core, but I know that it exists." Now, could he be talking about the Akashic Records? The Hall of Records? This wealth of knowledge that's basically our history that is basically only able to be accessed in a realm that we don't know. That is just outside of our reach. You see, we're... Great shows like Stranger Things play on the reality that there is something just outside of our reach, just outside of our perception, our filter, our understanding. It's been skewed. Now, the receiver, the realms. If people have paid attention to some of the subtle things that we've talked about when it comes to spirituality throughout the entire show, you've heard me talk about how the spectrums of light that we're actually interacting with, the way that we're perceiving things, is entirely different. Now, later on in the broadcast, whenever we get into more about Nikola Tesla and the work that he was involved in and some of the things that he was doing, we'll talk about how, basically, when he was doing his experiments in Colorado, at higher altitudes, he was able to achieve more energy. He was able to get more electricity when with his apparatus, right? But whenever he was in, say, someplace like New York or someplace at a lower altitude, he was unable to achieve or able to acquire that much more energy. My thought process behind this is places that are higher up in the sky, volcanoes, places like Mount Kilimanjaro, you name it. These are basically energetic resonance hubs, places that just like they just hold on to energy. And the reason I say this is because he's trying to tap into another form of energy, something else that we can interact with. But before we do, I want to actually play this clip for you guys where we have Dr. Santilli, Ruggero Santilli of the Thunder Energies Corporation, talking about how, with his telescope, they have figured out a way to indeed see invisible terrestrial entities, see things in a different spectrum of light. Let's take a listen.
since the dawn of our civilization, all the way to the time of this breaking news, we human believed that everything that exists up there is only what we can see with our eyes and with our optical instruments. Well, things have changed now, because we have established the existence of entities existing in our terrestrial environment. And these entities are completely invisible to our eyes as well as to our optical instruments, but are fully visible with new instruments, therefore dramatically enlarging our conception of the perceivable universe, with a far-reaching possibility of future development and discoveries that perhaps are beyond our imagination at this time.
The revolutionary Santilli telescope is designed to detect antimatter in deep space. By antimatter, we mean an entity with characteristics that are the exact opposite of ordinary matter, including the index of refraction of light, which is opposite. As you can see in the diagram, we have two telescopes, the Santilli and the Galileo. Now, if you look closely, you'll see that the only real difference between the two is the lens. Notice that the Galileo uses a convex lens, whereas the Santilli telescope uses a concave lens. Now, when ordinary light passes through the Galileo telescope, with the convex lens, that lens focuses the light and can be recorded, or the image recorded, by a digital camera. Should antimatter light pass through the convex lens, it would merely be dispersed along the walls of the telescope and not be focused at all. Now, the exact opposite happens with the Santilli telescope. When antimatter light passes through the concave lens, it is then focused and provides an image that can be recorded by a digital camera. Ordinary light would be dispersed among the walls of the telescope.
Galileo originally conceived and constructed his telescope for discovery in deep space. But as we all know, the Galileo telescope is today used for all sorts of terrestrial view. Our telescope had essentially the same fate, because it was originally conceived for the detection of antimatter galaxies way deep into space. However, to our great surprise, we discovered that our telescope can equally detect entities in our terrestrial environment that are completely invisible to our eyes, to our binoculars or to Galileo telescope, but are fully visible in cameras attached to our telescope, for which reason we call them invisible terrestrial entities, ITE. We have detected at least two types of ITE. The first type, also called dark ITE, essentially consists of entities leaving a dark image in the background of digital cameras attached to our new telescope. And the second type, called bright ITE, essentially consists of entities leaving, this time, a bright image in the background of a digital camera attached to our telescope, often visible without any enlargement. Our discoveries of invisible terrestrial entities has been independently verified by American astronomers, also according to publications available in the Internet. I am a scientist, formerly from MIT, Harvard, and other leading institutions around the world. As such, my duty is that of documenting the existence, quote-unquote, of those entities. The question of what those entities are must be answered by our government, because those entities appear to conduct unauthorized surveillance of rather sensitive civilian, industrial, and military installations.
What we have learned is that reality is much bigger than we originally supposed. Reality consists not only of things that we can see and observe with our eyes and ordinary telescopes, but things that we can't see with our eyes and with ordinary telescopes. But the Santilli telescope allows us to see things that we have never seen before.
Fascinating. I truly find this stuff fascinating. We're basically talking about, as they said, the bigger reality that we find ourselves living in. And so to quickly jump back to Nikola Tesla, I want to play for you guys a little bit of this clip where we have him, where we have someone explaining their theory behind, or their explaining Nikola's secret behind the numbers 3, 6, and 9. Let's take a listen.
The mind-blowing secret behind the numbers 3, 6, and 9, finally revealed. Nikola Tesla did countless mysterious experiments, but he was a whole other mystery on his own. Almost all genius minds have a certain obsession. Nikola Tesla had a pretty big one. Tesla had some interesting habits that he would do. For example, he would walk around the block repeatedly, three times before entering a building. He would clean his plates with 18 napkins. He lived in hotel rooms, only with the number divisible by three. He would make calculations about things in his immediate environment to make sure the result is divisible by three. He would do everything in sets of three. Some say he had OCD, and others say he was very superstitious. However, the truth is a lot deeper. If you knew the magnificence of 3, 6, and 9, you would have the keys to the universe. Nikola Tesla. His obsession was not simply with numbers, but especially these numbers, 3, 6, and 9. Tesla claimed that these numbers were extremely important, and nobody listened. But why these numbers? What did Nikola Tesla try to make the world understand? First, we must understand that we did not create math, we discovered it. It's the universal language and law. No matter where you are in the universe, 1 plus 2 are always equal to 3. Everything in the universe obeys this law. There are patterns that naturally occur in the universe. Patterns that we've discovered in life. Galaxies, star formations, evolution, and almost all natural systems. Some of these patterns are the golden ratio and sacred geometry. One really important system that nature seems to obey is the power of two binary system, in which the patterns start from one and continues doubling the numbers. Cells and embryos develop following this sacred pattern. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, etc. Some call these patterns the blueprint of God. Math, by this analogy, would be God's thumbprint, leaving all religion aside. In vortex math, the science of torus anatomy, there is a pattern that repeats itself. 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, and 5, and so on. As you can see, 3, 6, and 9 are not in this pattern. Scientist Michael Rodin believes these numbers represent a vector from the third and fourth dimension, which he calls a flux field. This field is supposed to be a higher dimensional energy that influences the energy circuit of the other 6 points. Randy Powell, a student of Michael Rodin, says that this is the secret key to free energy, something we all know Tesla mastered. Let me explain. Let's start from 1. Doubled it is 2. 2 doubled it is 4. 4 doubled is 8. 8 doubled is 16, which means 1 plus 6, that equals to 7. 16 doubled is 32, resulting in 3 plus 2 equals 5. You can do 7 doubled if you want, to which you would get 14, resulting in 5. 32 doubled is 64, resulting in total of 1. So if we continue, we will keep following the same pattern. 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5. 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5, etc. Over and over. As you can see.
So definitely super fascinating stuff. I'm going to let this video play. But the reason I wanted to quickly jump to that while talking about invisible terrestrial entities and other types of life, other types of existences, is because what we're beginning to understand with sciences ourselves and with our approach towards things these days is just that. There's another whole realm out there. There's a whole nother existence that we need to understand. As they said before, with 3, 6, and 9 basically being the vectors for the third and the fourth dimension, and how they basically empower our dimension, we're beginning to understand or look at what is outside of our understanding, what is outside what we're familiar with. You see, this understanding is bigger than most would like to look at. You see, I'm going to try to read to you guys Nikola Tesla's article, Talking with the Planets, that he wrote for Collier's Weekly, back in February 9th of 1901. And in this, he talks about receiving receiving mysterious signals from an unknown source. He also talks about how, as I said before, when he went to Colorado in 1899, he was able to do more with his apparatus, do more with his devices. And as he gets more successful, as he discovers more with everything that's going on, he begins to kind of be a little weary and cautious of his position. Now, later on in his life, you know, as the man in the video said, he began to want to go after things such as free energy, trying to figure out what is powering everything else out there. But let me get into this article. I'm just going to jump in to whenever he was in Colorado, and this is Nikola Tesla in 1901 saying, quote, "To develop these inventions further, I went to Colorado in 1899. Where I continued my investigations along these and other lines, one of which in particular I now consider of even greater importance than the transmission of power without wires." So he finds this next thing more important than creating free energy, more important than creating his wireless energy transmission system for the world. He says, "I constructed the laboratory in the neighborhood of Pike's Peak. The conditions in the pure air of the Colorado Mountains proved extremely favorable for my experiments, and the results were most gratifying to me. I found that I could not only accomplish more work physically and mentally than I could in New York, but that the electrical effects and changes were more readily and distinctly perceived. A few years ago, it was virtually impossible to produce electrical sparks 20 or 30 feet long. But I produced some more than 100 feet in length, and this without difficulty. The rates of electrical movement involved in strong induction apparatus had measured but a few hundred horsepower, and I produced electrical movements of rates of 110,000 horsepower. Prior to this, only significant electrical pressures were obtained, while I have reached 50 million volts. The accompanying illustrations, with their descriptive titles taken from an article I wrote for the Century Magazine, may serve to convey an idea of the results I obtained in the directions indicated. Many persons in my own profession have wondered at them and have asked what I am trying to do, but the time is not far now away when the practical results of my labor will be placed before the world and their influence is felt everywhere. One of the immediate consequences will be the transmission of message without wires, over sea or land, to an immense distance. I have already demonstrated by crucial tests the practicability by signaling my system from one to another to any other point of the globe, no matter how remote, and I shall soon convert the non-believers. I have every reason for congratulating myself that throughout these experiments, many of which were exceedingly delicate and hazardous, neither myself nor any of my assistants received any injury. When working with these powerful electrical oscillations, the most extraordinary phenomena takes place at times. Owing to some interference with oscillations, veritable balls of fire are apt to leap out to a great distance, and if anyone were within or near their paths, he would be instantly destroyed. A machine such as I have used could easily kill, in an instant, 300,000 persons. I observed that the strain upon my assistants was telling, and some could not endure the extreme tensions of the nerves, but these perils are now entirely overcome, and the operation of such an apparatus, however, involves no risk whatever. As I was improving my machines for the production of intense electrical actions, I was also perfecting the means for observing feeble effects. One of the most interesting results, and also one of great practical importance, was the development of a certain contrivances for indicating at any distance of many hundreds of miles an approaching storm, its direction, speed, and distance traveled. These appliances are likely to be valuable in future meteorological observations and surveying and will lend themselves particularly to many naval uses. It was in carrying on this work that for the first time I discovered those mysterious effects which have elicited such unusual interest. I had perfected the apparatus referred to so far that from my laboratory in Colorado Mountains, I could feel the pulse of the globe as it were noting every electrical change that occurred within a radius of 1,100 miles. So could you imagine that? Like literally feeling the pulse of the world around you. Now, what he's going to start talking about is basically how he's receiving these messages, or how he thinks he's beginning to receive these messages from this type of apparatus. And it's in a periodical, somewhat methodical nature, to where basically he's thinking, you know, this has to be intelligently controlled. This isn't from the Aurora Borealis. This isn't from the planet. This isn't from the oceans. This isn't naturally produced from the sun. This is unknown to him. Continuing on, he says, I can never forget the first sensations I experienced when it dawned upon me that I had observed something possibly of incalculable consequences to mankind. I felt as though I was present at the birth of a new knowledge or the revelation of a great truth. Even now, at times, I can vividly recall the incident and see my apparatus as though it were actually before me. My first observations positively terrified me, as there was present in them something mysterious, not to say supernatural, and I was alone in my laboratory at night. But at the time, the idea of these disturbances being intelligently controlled signals did not yet present itself to me. The changes I noted were taking place periodically, and with such a clear suggestion of number and order that they were not traceable to any cause then known to me. I was familiar, of course, with such electrical disturbances as are produced by the sun, aurora borealis, and earth currents, and I was sure, as I could be, of any fact that these variations were due to none of these causes. The nature of my experiments precluded the possibility of the changes being produced by atmospheric disturbances, as has been rashly asserted by some. It was some time afterward when the thought flashed upon my mind that the disturbances I had observed might be due to an intelligent control. Although I could not decipher their meaning, it was impossible for me to think of them as having been entirely accidental. The feeling is constantly growing on me that I had been the first to hear the greeting of one planet to another. A purpose was behind these electrical signals, and it was with this conviction that I had announced to the Red Cross Society when it asked me to indicate one of the great possible achievements of the next 100 years, that it would probably be the confirmation and interpretation of this planetary challenge to us. Since my return to New York, more urgent work has consumed all my attention, but I have never ceased to think of those experiences and my observations made in Colorado. I am constantly endeavoring to improve and perfect my apparatus, and just as soon as I am practical, I shall again take upon the thread of my investigations at the point where I have been forced to lay it down for a time. So basically he's saying the apparatus that he was able to build that was so powerful, where he was able to feel the changes of the Earth as the Earth turned, he felt what he was feeling, what he was receiving, basically, were intelligently controlled messages. This is Nikola Tesla now, 1901. This is something you guys can all go look up. I'm just trying to add a little bit of flair so we understand what's going on. Now we start talking about communicating with the Martians. This is Nikola Tesla trying to say that we need to establish communication with them, saying that we'll pick up a kind of signal. We will make a system so that we can communicate. He's wanting to communicate with something else. What else is there out there? And for me, you know, this is why I'm glad that we're asking the question of what is space, what is dimensions, what is time, what is going on, what is an alien, what is real, what is a Martian. As we've just played for you with the Ruggiero Scintille telescopes from the Thunder Energy Corporations, these are intelligent entities. They are just not perceivable by our own senses at the moment. We don't have the technologies or the mindset. We're not able to see within that spectrum or access that plane, that reality. Now, the flat earthers, the flat earth people who are studying this is where I resonate with the concept of flat earth. We're living in certain planes, certain densities of reality. Think about that. We're at the ocean bottom floor, or at the bottom of the ocean floor. That's only one realm. I've always thought of every existence that we're in. I've thought of the world as a sheet of grid paper of, you know, just different lines intersecting. We are on one plane. There are other planes, other densities, other dimensions. But let me get back into this. Nikola Tesla talking about communicating with Martians. He says, at the present stage of progress, there would be no insurmountable obstacle in constructing a machine capable of conveying a message to Mars. Nor would there be any great difficulty in recording signals transmitted to us by the inhabitants of the planet, if they be skilled electricians. Communication once established, even in the simplest way, as by a mere interchange of numbers, the progress towards more intelligible communication would be rapid. Absolute certitude as to the receipt and the interchange of messages would be reached as soon as we could respond with the number 4, say, in reply to the signal 1, 2, 3. The Martians or the inhabitants of whatever planet had signaled to us would understand at once that we had caught their message across the Gulf of Space and had sent back a response. To convey a knowledge of form by such means is, while very difficult, not impossible, and I have already found a way of doing it. What a tremendous stir this would make in the world. How soon will it come? For that it will sometime be accomplished must be clear to every thoughtful being. Something at least science has gained, but I hope that it will also be demonstrated soon that in my experiments in the West, I was not merely beholding a vision, but had caught a sight of a profound and great truth. This is Nikola Tesla talking about what he wants his experiments to do. Creating this type of technology to interact with whatever is on the other side of the veil, acknowledging that there is a veil, acknowledging that there is even an interplanetary existence. Now, I'm not going to go down the path and say if we're on Mars, the moon, or anything like this. What I will say is that there is indeed other existences out there, other realms of life. You see, in those 1899 transmissions, now he talked about getting those, you guys should really go look up that interview if you can, but he basically talked about these extraterrestrial entities that sought to dominate mankind secretly, using a program that had been in effect since our creation, accelerating due to our technological and scientific, the program that we're under, it was accelerating due to our technological and scientific advancements. He attempted to notify the governments, but was unable to receive help. Who knows if they were complicit. He spoke to his benefactors and was able to gather enough funds to start getting help and making the technology for things to fight back what he would consider the Martians. That's what he thought of at the time, that Martians were secretly here on Earth, controlling events and people, directing evolutionary periods and important cycles. Sounds crazy, right? Tesla even thought of climate change before it became the popular term that we thought today, and thought that it was the cause of humans, aliens, and so much more. That's why he became obsessed with creating these devices to end warfare and to join the fight against these, what he would consider, again, Martians. That's why he was creating the death rays and those wingless torpedoes, as he called them, that could fly through the air. This is why we also hear about him getting so interested in creating free energy. Really, we've got to understand, people like Nikola Tesla are put here to show us a number of things, to show us that what we think of as the nature of reality can easily be shifted overnight. 369, what is this number that is outside of the typical parameters of things? Understanding this force that's holding everything together. There's a book by an author named William Lynn. It was written in 2010, where he talks about the luminiferous ether. All matter comes from the ether. And this ties into, you know, what we were talking about before with the construction of reality, everything being a thought prior to. But even the ether is something else. You see, it fills all space. It's acted upon by the life-giving creative force. You see, the luminiferous ether is everything. It's that fire in between everything. Now, I should have talked about this at the start. the concept of plasma physics and everything else. We'll get into that shortly. But that's a whole nother state of matter that we're just now kind of getting into understanding. It's not a gas, it's not a liquid, it's not a solid, but it's another state somewhere in between. Smokeless fire sometimes is what it's called. And to kind of wrap up some of the stuff with Nikola Tesla, you know, January 9th, the FBI and the Justice Department came through and they took his documents. They were transported to the Manhattan Storage Company, the Office of Alien Property. And that's because the FBI considered Tesla a threat. You know, the evidence is that he's not in the history book. That's why they, you know, try to whitewash him. Anything associated with Tesla was confiscated, recovered, and boxed. And I remember, this is crazy, I forget which episode it is, but Donald Trump's family was actually involved in the requisition of Nikola Tesla's information. And as you know now, with Elon Musk and everything that he's doing, we're now seeing some of this technology being rolled out with electric cars, Powerwall batteries, and things of this nature. If you guys have paid attention to our Terraforming Earth series, you've heard me talk about how they're trying to sell us free energy. This concept is not necessarily new. I mean, look at hydroelectric, solar, and wind power. You know, we have this all here, but they're literally trying to set up everything to where we have to pay to live on this planet. It's crazy. It's crazy. But back to understanding what is the nature of reality, why we have to say that this is crazy, them trying to sell us free energy. There's more to this world that we can pull upon. As Nikola Tesla said, there's a great core through which we draw strength, inspiration, and courage from. Could it be that Akashic Records? Could it be the reservoir of the luminiferous ether? Who knows? But there is something in the power and the spirit blocks, or the power and the spirit and the building blocks that we're living in. You see, we have to understand that the spirit, the ether, is busy molding the matter and consciousness so that both can work in that harmony, so they can become a perfect vessel or vehicle for spiritual expression. Now, Nikola Tesla was talking about, again, the numbers, 369. Why is that important? Because we're basically talking about there's a structure to the planet, there's a pattern to the planet that we're unaware, that we can't see, but we can tap into it, doing things in three. You see, doing things in what can be considered OCD fashion. Even this show, oh man, you tell me, I'm telling you, putting this show together sometimes is, you have to be a little bit OCD, but I would think after the third time being the try, you would probably pick up on the pattern. This is, again, something else that we've noticed recently amongst the shows, and we've talked about it, the patterns, the rhythm. What is this? That's when you get into numerology, the matrix life, understanding that we are in a bigger circle, a bigger formula, a much more complex system. And Tesla knew this. He was trying to tap into this. People think everything is random. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't think that you finding yourself here as we're talking about these types of things is coincidence. I'll tell you what else is a coincidence. We literally, I didn't know that it was Nikola Tesla's birthday as I was putting together this episode, but as I spent four or so hours trying to get all some information together for this segment, if not more so, I got on social media the next day and all I could see on my feed was Nikola Tesla's birthday, Nikola Tesla's birthday, Nikola Tesla's birthday. So that's more of that coincidence. Things working in a higher cosmic scale than you have access to. And if you've paid attention and you've kind of seen the growth of the podcast, you yourself have kind of seen and listened to this growth. What happens when you let go? What happens whenever you kind of go into this flow of what is natural? What is real? What is this core reality? You see, and we have to ask these deeper questions because we're looking at the occult world, the unseen universe, the wheels behind the wheels. You see, there are other entities and other energies that speak about this, the clockwork elves, you see, the numerology, even living in an enclosed system, as the flat earthers say, you see, or being stuck in the soul trap, that we're stuck in this reincarnation period, constantly growing, constantly dying, never really moving on. There is something behind all that we are seeing. You see, we have to understand that. And this is something that we'll get into in the next segment. We have to understand that everything we see happening right now is all frequency, harmonics, lights, patterns, electricity, sound, everything. that is happening right now is much more much more impactful than we think, you see. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about these different types of existences, plasma physics, density and planar realities, things like the logic plane, the divine plane, the difference between the spiritual and the astral plane, and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Factions of Freedom. We'll be right with you. Told you we'd be right with you. I'm glad you stuck around. Like I told you, we're gonna be here. We're gonna be here as long as we're allowed to be, and even then we'll kind of kick stuff up if we're not allowed to be. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking around, and thank you for being a part of this edition of Factions of Freedom. Wow, that last segment was a lot to digest. Oof. Sorry if I kind of sounded wild, but you know what else is going to be a little bit crazy to digest? Let's listen to Michio Kaku talk about the multiverse.
Andre, we believe, though we cannot yet prove, that our multiverse of universes is 11-dimensional. So think of this 11-dimensional arena. And in this arena, there are bubbles that float. And the skin of the bubble represents an entire universe. So we're like flies trapped on flypaper. We're on the skin of a bubble. It's a three-dimensional bubble. The three-dimensional bubble is expanding, and that's called the Big Bang Theory. And sometimes these bubbles can bump into each other. Sometimes they can split apart. And that, we think, is the Big Bang. So we even have a theory of the Big Bang itself. Now, you ask a question, what about the dimensions of each bubble? Well, in string theory, which is what I do for a living, that's my day job, in string theory, we can have bubbles of different dimensions. The highest dimension is 11. You cannot go beyond 11 because universes become unstable beyond 11. If I write down the theory of a 13, 15-dimensional universe, it's unstable, and it collapses down to an 11-dimensional universe. But within 11 dimensions, you can have bubbles that are three-dimensional, four-dimensional, five-dimensional. These are membranes. So for short, we call them brains. So these brains can exist in different dimensions. And let's say P represents the dimension of each bubble. So we call them P-brains. So a P-brain is a universe in different dimensions floating in a much larger arena. And this larger arena is the hyperspace that I talked about originally. Also remember that each bubble vibrates, and each bubble vibrating creates music. The music of these membranes is the subatomic particles. Each subatomic particle represents a note on a vibrating string or vibrating membranes. So believe it or not, we now have a candidate for the mind of God that Albert Einstein wrote about for the last 30 years of his life. The mind of God in this picture would be cosmic music resonating throughout 11-dimensional hyperspace.
So there we go again. Cosmic music. That's an interesting little touch to put on it at the last minute. Cosmic music, what could that mean? There's more to that. You see, 11 dimensions, he says. Well, do I sound like that? I hope I don't sound like that. I probably do. I'm not going to go into 11 dimensions. We definitely don't have enough time to do that. But what I will do is explain the different dimensions that we are able to, I suppose, access, or that we do interact with, or that I can at least conceptualize, so to speak. Now, we have the physical plane. That's where everything is manifest. And as I said before, that's the bottom of the ocean, right? That's where we're at. We're here where everything is just kind of sunken in, very corporeal. We're just, it just is. We're seeing the three-dimensional, but there's more to it. Now, let's go to the astral plane. This is the emotional plane. This is where, you know, you have people that talk about astral projection, where they can put themselves out of their body and basically not necessarily leave the physical realm, but still be aware of the physical realm while attached to a different emotional path, so to speak. The mental plane. Now, I have a video I want to play for you guys, but basically what that is the thought-based reality. This is where we're starting to talk about thoughts being vibrational, frequencies, and basically how things are manifested. Energy goes where attention flows. What we're beginning to talk about, basically, is densities. This is what I mean by the bottom of the ocean. As you get higher up, you get free of whatever, of your flesh, of whatever is holding us down. You see, it's the mindset. It's what we're tapped into. But this is basically a documentary where they're trying to continue the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto, where he basically projected thoughts, words, and feelings onto pieces of water and ice, and he was able to change their molecular structure. The memory of water is basically talking about how if we ourselves are 60 to 80% water, how much information do you think is in the water that's raining? How much information can water hold? Let's take a listen.
what extent is water capable of picking up information? What does it perceive? And how does it remember it over time?
The Aerospace Institute in Stuttgart has discovered a relatively simple way of making the structure of a drop of water visible. The researchers have had their efforts rewarded by insights into a very beautiful world. Each drop has a face of its own, unmistakable and unique. Why are the individual drops so different from one another? We got a lot of people to come to a lecture hall here at the Institute, gave them all the same water, had them make drops at exactly the same time, collected all the drops, and then discovered that each individual produced different images from the same water. And here you can see the results. Here on the right you can see that the images of the individual students are different, but those made by a given student are all quite similar. This is the work of the first experimenter, this one here from the second, this from the third, and this from the fourth. Individually, they can quite easily be reproduced. But you would never have thought that they were all from the same water, because when you compare the images from the different people, you see some big differences. Then we undertook experiments to find out whether things changed when we put something into the water. A real flower was placed in the water. A while later, we took a drop of water, and here you can see one of the pictures. And you can see it in this picture. It's the typical image you get when you put a flower into water. You could recognize the flower in every single drop in this glass, of course. That can be reproduced and has significance. And if you were to put a different flower in here, for example, a Sweet William flower, then all the drops of this water would look like Sweet William. The statement that water has a memory practically changes our whole way of looking at the world, of course. Let's travel down the Rhine in the figurative sense. Water is flowing down the Rhine, picking up information everywhere it goes. So the water has more information at the mouth of the Rhine than it had at the source. And the Dutch, living at the mouth, when they drink that water, they're also drinking all that information. Thus, the world's oceans would no longer be something that separates us, but instead a giant storehouse of information. The rain would perhaps be a data medium carrying information to the world.
Every time I see that, you know, my mind always gets blown. That water could literally be a delivery mechanism for massive information. A massive informational update or upload for people. It's crazy. We are biological computers, and if we are 60 to 80% water, what kind of memory does our body hold? What kind of cellular memory does our body hold? We come from our parents, you see. This is why people need to understand why it has a modern day relevance. I mean, look at what Big Pharma is doing. Look at the mental health epidemic. Look at the opioid epidemic. Look at the geoengineering, the chemtrails, the vaccines, the GMOs, the autism rates that are spiking. Look at these things. It's because we're not getting back to source. We're too busy trusting something else. This system, they're trying to poison the environment. You know, part of, you know, hearing this video, you know, go on about this type of stuff. Part of what I think being an alchemist is understanding the elements themselves and understanding that there is a harmony. And a balance that must be maintained. The quintessence, it's not fire, it's not water, it's not air, it's not earth, but it is spirit. You see, that is what alchemy is, what Nikola Tesla was trying to basically tap into. That is that maybe it is water, maybe it's that hyperdimensional water is just above the firmament for the flat earthers. You see, there is something that has to do with the elements and understanding the deeper aspects to it. Now, let's get back into just that, a thought-based reality, the mental plane. As I said before, before playing you guys the video, the idea behind that was to show you how thoughts, words, feelings, things affect reality. Not just, you know, grabbing a lump of dirt, sticking your hand in the ground and then throwing it and say, hey, look, I made a molehill. No, there are other ways that you affect the world. This is that mental plane. This is why they say, keep your thoughts in check. Negative thoughts create negative realities. Positive thoughts create positive realities. I know that's wild, but what world are you trying to tap into? Moving on, the next plane is the unity plane, the Buddhic plane, where you're understanding that you have to shed yourself, that we are indeed all one. As Michio Kaku explained with his bubble 11 dimension theory, we are all within that master bubble, or we're all within that container. We're all just different bubbles and different expressions of the same thing, the spiritual plane. Now, this is where a lot of people, whenever I make that statement about where I see the world going, whether or not we'll be half humans, cyborgs, or if we'll be enlightened humans, or if we'll, you know, just be full Borgs, those enlightened humans, that's where they're mostly operating these days, is on that spiritual plane. That's why they're having spiritual knowledge downloads and experiences outside of other people, because they're involved in a larger frequency, a larger understanding. The divine plane, the birth plane, the absolution. What is truth? And don't worry, we'll get into this. The divine plane. Some people say that you birth yourself, or that you choose to sign a soul contract to come to the planet, or to come into reality, that you choose to be born in certain places. If things affect the body, thoughts affect the body, and acts affect the body. We were a thought before, so something, you know, you could even make the argument that I chose to come here to deliver this types to deliver these types of messages. Moving on, the logoic plane, the hyperplane, the oversoul, as some might say. This is, again, referring back to Michio Kaku's bubble theory. This is the over-bubble. This is the bubble that traps all these other bubbles in. This is whenever people begin to talk about their higher selves. Or maybe it's that we're all part of a higher self. We're just different spectrums of the light. It's crazy. It is definitely crazy when you start to look into it. How are people able to distinguish these types of things? Because there's things like the heart energy, the aura. People don't want to ask these types of questions because that means that they have to really look deep within themselves and understand that they have responsibilities, that they have a purpose to being here. It's not all just hunky-dory. We don't all just get to take a break. There are things going on, and you have an obligation to do it. You have an obligation to go into this world and enrich other people's lives. But that's too much responsibility for some people. They don't want that. You see, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to play a quick clip for you guys, and we're going to move on to this final segment of the show. Earlier this week, whenever we were doing one of the Instagram lives, I set up the question, ask me anything. Somebody asked me the question, what is truth? Who is truth? I thought that was a fantastic question, because basically what we're talking about is how you yourself are the perceiver. You decide what is hot, what is cold, what is light, what is dark, what is good, what is evil. Remove yourself. Abolish yourself. Go into that Buddhic plane. Remove yourself. You're just here, right? There is no you. You're in China. There is no you. That's messed up. Remove yourself, right? If you removed yourself from everything, everything would still take place, even if it didn't have your perception. It is only you that is the filter. You are literally here to not only experience this universe, experience itself, but also to try to take part in it. And regardless of if you do or don't, these things will happen. This is the immutable truth. This is the truth behind truths. So this is what people might say some things are pointless. This is why some people might say everything is meaningless, or they have it all backwards. Because this is why we have to create the purpose, because we were put here to stir these things. If everything is always existing constantly, constantly growing, constantly expanding, constantly shrinking, constantly evolving, then we are here to literally be that vessel to see it go through. To either take part in it or watch as it happens. But see, this is what I mean. So let me get into this clip for you guys, because on June 28th we put this article up from Mysterious Universe. They talked about how apparently Joshua P. Warren, a paranormal investigator, has discovered a time warp near Las Vegas. Let's take a listen.
A paranormal researcher claims he has discovered a time warp in the desert just north of Vegas. Using what's known as a differential time rate meter, also known as a DT meter, Joshua Warren claims that for the first time ever, he was able to record a measurement showing time had been slowing down for 20 microseconds, something that laws of physics say should not occur. Warren told KVVU-TV in Vegas that the big question is, what's causing this? Is this something natural that gives us a window, a gateway into another world or another level of reality? Or is this the byproduct of some kind of weird technology, be it something secret and man-made or something that's extraterrestrial? Matt Uris for CBS LA.
So I think that's, again, another fascinating thing to try to conceptualize, try to wrap our mind around. Using a device that's able to register whenever there is a 20 second delay. Now, definitely go through and find out more on that. There's a lot of articles out there. It definitely kind of broke news. The video that you're watching right now has over 100,000 views on just our page alone. So definitely go check it out. It's definitely something that's interesting. Now, why are we talking about time when we're looking at densities? Because what we're looking at, time and space. We're talking also about time-space distortions. This is something else that I paid attention to. I remember doing an episode maybe during season 5 or so. But basically, we talked about how, or at least my theory is, CERN is creating these rifts in time and space. I don't have a lot to go on to really explain it, because how do you explain time travel? How do you explain missing people? How do you explain this different type of stuff? You'll have people that say things like the Mandela effect, but I don't want to just gloss over it like that. Now, what I do want to say is that I have noticed in these places where there have been some kind of anomalies, and what I mean by anomalies are things like Bigfoot sightings, UFOs, ghosts, people disappearing, people having pre- and post-cognition of events taking place in certain areas. Places like, in Arizona, it escapes me at the moment, but there are places like that in Arizona, in between New Mexico and Colorado. There are places all over the world. I had an entire list at one point in time to where we went through and looked at them. Sedona, Arizona, to where there's energetic hubs there, but there's also been an incredible amount of paranormal experiences. Now, why is that important? What is happening there to where these entities, these energies, and these strange happenings, these anomalous happenings, are taking place in one centered event or in one centered area? I find that extraordinarily strange. Now, what I mean by this is, again, let's look at things like ghosts. You never really see a ghost from the future. I don't see any ghosts wearing spacesuits. Do you? No. You usually see them out of their place or in time. They're in some kind of they're from the past, basically. Now let's move on to UFOs. People who experience missing time or who have been abducted, I'm sure they have also experienced missing time. They talk about being taken also underneath the earth, not in the space, because of the pressure. Okay, let's continue to move on to things such as Bigfoot, dogmen, chupacabras. You know, this is all going to sound crazy still, but people are following physical creatures, physical footprints that are leaving trails, and then it's like they turn a corner, boom, they disappear. A more important and modern day example of more of this strange behavior, where people are just randomly disappearing in places like Yellowstone and all kinds of other national parks, and the Park Ranger Service is fully aware of this, it's been documented by David Pilates in his book, The Missing 411 Series. Now, this is something that's very, I don't want to say it's new, but it's been talked about throughout history, of where people have just been plucked out and then they show up in different locations. But David Pilates in his series does a great job of documenting extraordinarily strange tales of not only children disappearing, but families disappearing, people ending up in weird places, you know, and some of them are fatal too. Some people will disappear and then they'll literally end up, you know, states over in a pond, but they're wearing the same clothes that they disappeared in months ago. So it's crazy. Another, an even crazier example is just a few weeks ago, a woman went disappearing into the ocean, she showed up 18 months later wearing the same clothes that she disappeared in. Okay, so now you got to forgive me, because to me, we're talking about a larger aspect of this world that we're living in. Something is happening. I shouldn't have all these tales of just strange stuff going on. This shouldn't be casual. Something is happening to our space-time continuum. I'm not saying I got the answers, but I'm saying people are noticing. One of my theories behind this is look, when Nikola Tesla was talking about conducting his experiments at Pikes Peak, Colorado versus in New York, we're talking about different elevations, different places. Okay, Pikes Peak, mountain, that's close to the sky, that's close to the sun, it's close to the stars. It's able to soak up all that good energy, right? Right. Now, let's go to some place like New York. It's pretty much sea level. It's not able to get that kind of, natural boost of energy. There's not a lot of things that are able to hold that charge, so to speak. If we are going through and installing 5G everywhere, cell phone towers, Gwyn towers, ELF towers, mini towers, everything in between, this is going to mess with how things are able to receive energy, receive signals, and receive so much. Jumping back to the receiver aspect of your brain, that Nikola Tesla also said, how do you think the Earth feels with us literally hijacking its energy? Another thing to pay attention to is the magnetic ley line. This is something that's very real. It also plays into this 5G network that they're establishing. The point I'm trying to make is they're trying to hijack us. They're trying to use this technological this system, whatever you want to call it. They're trying to use this mechanism to literally trap us here in this domain, in this realm, in this plane, in this reality. You see, there's more to us. But if our brains are literally being cut off from experiencing this shift, experiencing this change and this growth, there's no way that we'll know, that we'll have access to it. It's like they're literally burning a book that says this is how you level up. And the way they do this is by hijacking reality, is by trapping us here with things like the chemtrails, the vaccines, the GMOs. We can't have higher thoughts, understanding higher spiritual complexes or concepts if we're literally too dumbed down, if we're stuck on drugs. That's why they talk about it even in the Bible. Don't practice pharmakeia. Don't get caught up in this witchcraft that these people are trying to tell you, putting band-aids on scars. These things don't fix you. That's why mental health is so rampant these days. I'm rambling. What is happening to the space-time continuum? What is going on? They're trying to hijack things. Things are changing. But we have a dumbed-down population who can't even tell. You see, and it's increasing. I pay attention to these types of things. I have articles up here even ready to go. Let me just read off a few of them for you guys, because obviously I didn't get into them. I have to laugh because, you know, I get all this stuff ready, you know, for you guys, and then I just get to chatting and it just kind of goes to plop. Just plops false. Strange tales of reality rifts and interdimensional slips. Mysterious portals and the stargates of the ancient worlds. Sonic geometry, the language and frequency of form. Black magic, the occult, and the CIA, where we're talking about Project MK often. My point is this. They have been conducting experiments. Have we been jumped into a different reality? I don't think so. I think, again, they're trying to trap some here. There are some that have gotten away. We have to understand that the idea is that for every effect, there's a cause. And for every cause, there's an effect. Everything is interconnected. We're living in a chain reaction of events that take place. Everything is simultaneously occurring at once. And as I said before, you as the human, as the conscious human being, are existing as the reference point for the time that we're in. You determine what is hot, what is cold, what is good, what is evil, what is light, what is shadow. Everything just is. You are the conscious human being who's there to define the polarity in relation to you. What is plus? What is minus? When you're looking at the space-time continuum, everything is already happening as a state of cause and effect. But when we inject ourselves and we start passing judgment, that's whenever everything kind of it gets a little murky. That's what I meant by before. You can remove yourself and everything will still continue to happen. But if you want to change, if you want to move forward, access these different realms, you have to take the time to do so. You have to put in the work. You are the vessel. You see, people think this doesn't have a relation to them, like, oh, you know what? Why did we waste an episode talking about this? If people could understand the concept of breaking down what is considered the physical world and then reconstituting it for a larger purpose, they would understand their power that much more. A perfect example is this show. How are we trying to do these things? Everything that we see happening here. What did we talk about in the previous episode? The deconstructivism. They're breaking things down just so they can go back through and then reconstitute it and bring it back to normal, or to their normal problem, reaction, solution. This is still that alchemical process. People don't understand how we're underneath so much subjugation that it's kind of crazy. You know, they're trying to sell us free energy. We have corporations taking over healthcare and medicine. Amazon's Grand Challenge trying to tackle cancer. Peter Thiel, the founder of PayPal, getting into magic mushrooms. Microsoft, Bill Gates, you all know how I feel about him, getting involved in medical marijuana. And don't even get me started on Bayer and Monsanto. The idea behind all of this is not to let us understand the deeper truths. You see, this transhumanism movement that they're preaching to us, this is a false deception. This is deception at its finest. They're trying to make man into a beast. You see, where we are right now, we have a perfect connection to God. We really do. We just don't exercise it enough. The pineal gland, however you want to see it, our bodies are the temple, and we are not taking care of the temple. We're not cleaning the temple. You see, we're not honoring the temple. We're not honoring the mind. We're not honoring our vessel and vehicle. So we're getting mixed signals, literally. We're getting signals from MSNBC, CNN, Fox, ABC, all these places. We're not literally downloading the signals that are being given to us every day. This is, again, what I mean by the patterns, the frequency. What is there? That's why, Nicola, you got to think about it. Like when you start your car, or you got like a really crappy car and you try to start it three times the charm, then you're able to go. Then you're in the flow. You see, the whole idea behind everything that we see now is them trying to get us involved in their matrix. Getting us involved in what they want. This is why we focus on so many spiritual and health-minded things. Why we've recommended fasting. Intermittent fasting. To regenerate your immune system. To combat this type of stuff. To get the toxins out. To, again, reestablish that natural connection with what should be motivating you. What should be pulling you. What should be pushing you. As Nikola Tesla said, that core that's inspiring you and gives you that strength, you see. We have to understand that we're more powerful than we could ever believe, but if we don't remember ourselves, and that's a lot of what alchemy is remembering, you see. We live in an unseen biosphere all around us, filled with living creatures that we can't see. And whenever we take the time to understand more of this, looking at things like plasma, understanding that it's the fourth element of matter, that us here on Earth, as I said before, that we are walking around on the bottom part of the ocean, but that ocean is still filled with electrical beings, electricity, electrical energy, the ether, whatever is right there, we can tap into it. That energy can be tapped. Tesla knew this. This was that concept of free energy. It's that breath that we are all able to have. And whenever we're encountering this electricity, when we're talking about this plasma and engaging it, it tears holes in this space-time continuum. We're having interactions with this essence or this energy all the time. We just don't understand it. It's not foreign. We're actually dealing with an intelligence. That's what I'm saying. That's what Ruggero Santilli said. This is an intelligence. This is a light-based element to it. That's why there's all kinds of mythologies and names attributed to it culturally. You see, alchemy is the attempt to attract these things. And this is only one form of it. And I'm not saying alchemy is a solution. I'm not saying religion is a solution. I'm not saying spirituality is a solution. I'm saying that these practices have been here with us through the ages to introduce us to these things, to remember that which we have forgot, to get us back to where we have to be. The celestial fire, the fire that does not burn, to tap into that unlimited power. Understanding that the celestial fire is like a plant. You have to grow it. It's crazy. This is the world that we have to work in. And this wasn't meant to be an episode with the glitz, the glamour, and everything in between. This was meant to be an episode to tell you that you are capable more capable than you think. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Magnum Opus, tapping into Tesla and dimensional existences. However, that's all I really have for you guys. I know I kind of went all over the place, but to be honest, that was the point. The whole point was to get you guys to start thinking about the times that you're in. Yeah, you can sit up over here, get caught up in selfies, try to follow the likes, and try to get caught up in the trends, but understand there's a whole purpose behind it, and we try to cover it every single week here on the show. But episodes like this, episodes like we just had, we go over the real meanings behind the types of things that we do. Understand that you are blessed with life. And if you so choose, you can do more. And that's why we're here. Like I said, however, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys and gals, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.